This is episode 241 on February 8th, 2018.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Dave Podner.
And I'm Greg McMillan.
And somewhere lurking in the background, he'll probably pop in, is Matt Hoffman. But until then, let's get started. How are you guys doing? Let's start with you, Greg.
I'm doing very well. I think we're in the midst of another storm up here, getting more snow. Tomorrow's not supposed to be very nice. So who knows what lies ahead that way. But just finished my night shifts for the week and off for the weekend. So not a whole lot new, really.
Well, good. How about you, Dave?
We had our big hit earlier in the week. Luckily, my work does allow me to work from home instead of saying, you know, we really want you to come in. If you happen to get in an accident, deal with it. They're like, my boss actually put an email saying, they're coming with bad weather. We don't want anyone to get in a crash. If it looks that bad, stay at home and work, which is always nice.
Yeah.
And I happen to have a day off today, so was able to get out a little bit to actually had to run downtown Pittsburgh and got a couple of photos out. One of the photos I did get, and normally it doesn't show as well, was of snow itself.
Ah.
Because I don't know if this is iPhone specific, but anytime generally I try to take a picture of snow, I mean, it could be like a heavy downpour of snow and, you know, and all of a sudden you take the photo and then I know it's probably focusing more than anything else. And it's like, you can barely see the snow in the photo.
Yeah.
But this happened to be, I was in an overhang and a snow flurries just came in and it felt like you were in a snow globe. So the photo I got, I was able to hit, and partially I think it's lighting. I was able to, you're actually able to see the not necessarily flakes of snow, but you're able to see that it was snowing in the back, snowing with the buildings in the background.
Okay.
Which was a nice little touch. And a little before that, it was just trying to get, you know, every city, every place has your standard photo. You know, it's like, okay, well, if you're going to go somewhere, you're going to stand here, you're going to get the photo because this is the shot everyone gets. So I was just trying to walk around a little bit and get some shots that were different angles or different streets that most people wouldn't take shots down.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, when somebody's like, oh, I got to get this picture, you know, some people say, turn around. Like, what?
Yeah.
Turn around. Because sometimes even there might be something better behind you.
Oh, and one last thing is that this, I kind of broke my own suggestion from last year when I did about the shooting in cold weather. The only gloves I had were kind of thick, heavy winter gloves that you can't really use a smartphone with.
Yeah.
And I took the picture quick enough, but I decided that, hey, I don't want to wait to do the editing on my phone. I want to do the editing now when it's 20 degrees and we have a breeze going on. So the fingers are feeling quite on the cold side as I'm holding the phone, you know, trying to adjust things and bring up certain things and crop. I'm thinking, yeah, I probably should have waited till I was on the bus before I started to do that.
did your phone shut down at any point?
No. Okay. No, luckily not. No. And this is just I think this affects me more than the average person is that when I'm off doing just like in a walk or something, I'm listening to podcasts mostly, or if I'm listening to something. And I was using the Pro HDRX app. And this happens with a couple of different apps. I just happened to using that one today. And when you're taking the picture, when you first open it up, it stops your audio, which is just a minor inconvenience, I know, but it was like, but no, I did have a backup battery handy. And when I was walking around, when I wasn't taking pictures, I did have the phone on like an inside pocket. So I was trying to keep it a little warm there. But yeah, it did. But the battery still kind of got zapped pretty hard with the little bit of time it was out in the weather.
Yes. Yeah, it was like 10 degrees over here about a month ago. You know, 10 degrees is like, yeah, it's bad. It could be worse. But apparently the phones that we were carrying did not like it when my coworker and I were like, going to go from one spot to another. I was going to call him and it was like, oh, my phone's off. Why is my phone off? And I tried turning it on and it wouldn't turn on. And he walked around, he came walking down. He goes, hey, my phone's not working. It's off. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, at least we're consistent. And, but you know, I decided, okay, I'm going to keep my phone instead of in the side pocket of the pants that I was wearing. I'm going to stick it, in the shirt pocket underneath the layers so that it's at least soaking up my body heat. But, oh, cool. Very good. Let's see here. This last Saturday, we had a derby race, one of those Pinewood derbies. And, and so I took some pictures for that of, you know, the winners and, with the Royal Ranger District office, I'm on staff. So I'm the communications coordinator, and so I have to do that. So I didn't bring the big camera. I brought my trusty iPhone and got the pictures with that. Unfortunately, they set it up in a spot that was heavily lopsided when it came to light, and there was a large fluorescent light to the right of the stage that was pretty much drowning out details for people who were to the right. And so the race kind of went long and everybody's ready to go, and there wasn't really anything I could do to say, hey, everybody, let's just move this over here, because it was just one of those things. I was called over at the last minute, and so it was like, okay, well, just roll with it. But, you know, sometimes we have to do that. There's times that we have no choice. And as somebody who likes good photos, who likes to produce good photos, if it was any other situation, I probably would not have taken any shots. You know, there's sometimes you see something like, oh, that's great, but the lighting is so terrible, I don't even want to take the shot. But then there's times that you have to take the shot, whether it looks good or not. And you know, for posterity's sake, you know, just being able to get a photo is better than not getting a photo. So I had that this weekend, and been getting some photos of my coworker who's leaving. His last day is tomorrow, and you know, just kind of helping him to have some, you know, mementos of his career here where we work. And he's moving on to another place, and he's going to start a new job over somewhere else. So I've been, you know, kind of catching some photos. I texted him the images today, and he was grateful, you know. So we had a lot of fun times and everything. But, you know, just kind of, you know, do that for people, you know, when you know that they're kind of moving on, is a fun way of being able to take your talents and, you know, help people. But,
and that's the nice thing about living in the time that we do. We could do that. And yeah. I mean, 20 years ago, unless you had a film camera on hand, you would never have those memories.
Right.
So I think it's just amazing that we can do that so easily and so conveniently now.
Yeah, well, go back not even 20 years ago. Well, actually, you're right, 20 years ago. Ah, oh, geez. You know,
I didn't even go 10 years ago. I mean, everyone saw digital cameras back then, but you still had to remember to bring it with you, and they weren't exactly the ones that were compact took kind of crappy photos. And the ones that took decent photos, they weren't exactly, you know, I'm going to throw it in my shirt pocket then.
Yeah, well, 2008, I would say, was a good time to get into digital, whether it was point and shoot or even a DSLR. But I remember, like, was it 2002, 2003, the first digital camera I got happened to be a webcam, you know, that had a shutter button on it. And I probably got one, megapixel out of it, if I was lucky. And it didn't have a back screen either, so you couldn't see the images. I kind of wish I still had it. But, you know, it just, you know, that was what I had, and I took some pictures with it, and, you know, and some of those images, I mean, they don't look good, but they're still images that I have that I would not have had because I didn't have another digital camera. I would have had a little point and shoot film camera, you know, and,
And my first digital camera was a Canon Rebel, the first Canon Rebel that they made.
Oh, wow.
And it was a beast. Yeah. It was heavy, and stupid me, I put a battery pack on it because I wanted, you know, good battery life when I was out taking pictures. And it was only a 6-megapixel camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it got, you know, I think it was producing noise at ISO 400. But it was really fun to learn with, especially when I started shooting raw files and everything else with it. You know, I went from a film camera to that and just had a blast with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's, we look back and we say, oh, you know, those were terrible, you know, but at the time it was the best. And
yeah.
And they, you know what? It still works. You know, my 30D still works. You know, and people would say, oh, I can't believe you're shooting with that type of a camera. That's awful. It's like, no, it's not. You know, the megapixel wars, you know, were, just a marketing scheme as far as I'm concerned, you know, because you can still take the camera that I have now and reduce the number of megapixels that you're using and still have amazing images. Just same thing with these iPhones, you know. It's like, could Apple pack, you know, 10 times the megapixel range in there? Sure. It'd probably look like garbage, but...
Well, I don't know if the lens would, you know, reach that much of a sensor, you know?
Well, you have... Well, shoot, I can't remember the brand, but, you know, they were claiming, you know, to have, you know, twice or three times the megapixel range that Apple was putting out. And it's like, yeah, sure. But the images are still the images. They work. They don't, there's nothing better that you can get. Sure, you can blow it up, but... you know, there's limitations to that too, with the size of the lens that you're packing. And, how did we get over here? Oh no, I was like, well, cool. Let's go ahead and get started. And I'm going to, let's see here. I'm going to, do I want to do a focus point or do I want to do, how about this? I'll play this.
Nothing! Absolutely nothing!
All right.
We can see what Matt's been up to. He's on there now.
Oh, Matt, are you here?
I am, yes. I apologize for being late.
You're all right. What you been up to?
Last one to the game buys the round.
yeah, that's fine with me. I, I think I could use a round.
We just got done kind of just going around seeing what everybody was up to. What you been up to?
Not really a whole lot. I guess in the last week or so since we last talked, most of the photography that I've done has been at a botanical garden in Cleveland.
Nice.
Every year, for most of February, they do like a big orchid show. And we really like going to that. And generally, I spend all my time photographing the orchids, doing like a lot of macro photography and stuff. And I did a little bit of that this year, but kind of found like a lot of other cool like plants and some different abstracts and stuff to photograph this time around. And kind of did a combination of iPhone and my Sony camera, and I don't know, I got a lot of pictures to edit still.
Ah, yeah,
good time of year to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's for sure. Well, I gotta tell you, man, yesterday, Wednesday of this week, I had to drive down to West Virginia for the day, and it was snowing, and it had snowed a lot kind of overnight Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. So the highway was just covered in snow. It made for a really exciting drive, I guess. Oof. And as I was getting closer to West Virginia, the highway seemed like it was clearing up a little bit. So, you know, I started going like a little faster. And you know, I'm looking at the trees that are like on each side of the highway, and I was like, wow, these trees look pretty cool with the snow on them. And then I kind of realized that it was not snow, it was ice. The trees were pretty much encased in ice. So, you know, right away I slowed right back down because I'm like, you know, I don't know if the road's wet or if it's covered in ice. But I really, really, really wish that I could have found like a good, safe place to pull over and do some pictures yesterday because it just looked so cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
those are the times I wish Apple had like a GoPro like camera or something that we could do hands free.
Like a drone. Right there.
Yeah.
You need a button on your car to that's a drone button. It just pops out and
yeah,
and it goes flying off to get the shot.
I'm about to say, Matt, when you were mentioning that you were having to drive to West Virginia, I was thinking, oh, yeah, that's going through all four types of weather where you go from the snow to the sleet to the freezing rain to the regular rain. You probably drove through.
Well, when I got to my office down there and I walked in and I kind of made a comment about how I really deserve some extra special points for – you know, coming down there through everything. And everyone was just kind of like, what are you talking about? You know, because it was just raining there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was like, why don't you just jump on the weather site and look at the radar? Because about 20 miles north of here, it's definitely not raining. And so, and then of course, at about lunchtime, it started to like sleet, snow, hail or something down there. So, then everybody got concerned, but luckily my drive home was a lot better. The highway was all cleared up by the time I drove home, but the drive down was crazy. It was about 90 miles of completely snow-covered highway.
Yeah, I can relate.
I don't think so, Greg. I don't think you have any idea. No, I'm kidding.
I know.
Your highways are snow covered year round, aren't they?
Well, there's a little bit of a break in last week of July, first week of August.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, that's when everybody takes holidays.
All right. Well, cool. Well, we're glad to have you on, Matt. It's it would have been Matless without you.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and play this.
News team, assemble.
There was something that that popped up in the news a few days ago that we thought would probably be interesting to talk about. It has to do with editing and ethics. And it's not so much iPhone related, but, you know, we do a lot of edits on our phones. It should be interesting to kind of bring up and you know, just keep in the back of your mind. So, Greg, would you like to explain?
Sure.
Right away, I feel like this is directed at me somehow.
Well, we were going to use your name, but we decided we're going to use Peter Lick's name just so that we wouldn't offend you.
He's not as well known as you, Matt, but you know, that's why we're going to use him. I think. So, anyway, what the deal is I saw on the F-Stoppers website a story about these photos that he has taken. There's two separate photos, and he gives them names. One is Moonlit Dreams, and the other one is Bella Luna. And, of course, one of them's obviously older than the other by how much, I don't know. But the one that really is raising the eyebrows is, I believe it's Moonlit Dreams. And it looks to me and looks at, I mean, I'm going to say it obviously does. It uses the exact same moon that he caught in the first image. Basically, it looks like the second image could be fake as far as I'm concerned too, just because of this whole thing. But on the website, if you scroll down the page, there's an image where they're kind of overlaid with each other, and you can slide this slider back and forth and see the two different images, and they've scaled it so that the moon is the exact same size in each of them. And on the latest one that came out, I'll just read to you what he says about capturing this shot. He says, "This shot has eluded me my entire photographic career. I searched for days to line up this classic tree with the moon. The golden sphere slowly rose in front of me. I pressed the shutter, a feeling I'll never forget. The moon, tree, and earth." So what the shot is it's the moon in the background, and on the lower right corner, there's like rock formations and whatnot with a tree growing out of it, and the moon is in behind that. And then the sky behind it has a nice orange glow to it. The moon has a yellowy appearance to it. And there's clouds that roll in front of the moon. And then you get totally, I don't know what the word is. I got ticked off with this guy because he put, there's clouds in behind the moon.
Yeah.
And that is literally impossible.
Yep.
And so he claims that this was a shot he's been waiting for all his life and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's so blatantly fake. And I mean, knowing Peter Lick, I can imagine what he must be asking for this thing. Because when he markets his images, he'll say he does a run of 1,000 prints. He will put a certain price tag on, say, the first 100. And then after that, he'll raise the price a little bit and then keep going with that trend until he gets down to just a few left. And then that's how he seems to nail, you know, upwards of $1 million for a print. But this here, I wouldn't give him 2 cents for it. And I'm sorry, Peter, if you ever happen to catch this podcast and listen to it, but you done screwed up because it's just unreal how fake this image is. So what does this have to do with iPhone photography? Well, it's the ethics. I mean, if you edit an image and you want to use an app like I think it's Skylab, where you can put in the moon and make it a different size, whatever, that's fine. As long as you don't try to pass it off as an original image, which in our Facebook group, nobody's ever tried to do that, in my opinion, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Anybody that plays around with these apps, you know, they're very good for explaining what they've done and what apps they've used. And I mean, it's a very dignified group of people that we have in the group and that use these phones and make these composite images with. But this guy, not so much.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with the, you know, originality. Okay. You know, anything that we do editing wise, you know, is okay. I mean, as long as you're honest about it.
Yeah, because it's art.
Yeah.
You know, it's a form of art.
Yeah. And if he said, "Hey, I got a great image. I want to you know, I want to superimpose this moon behind this tree." And, you know, some people are like, "Ah, that's great. That looks good." And then some people are like, "Oh, I can't believe he did that. That'll be, you know, that's horrible. Why would you do such a thing?" You know, I have no problems with that. And because he would be honest about it.
Yeah.
If the way he structured his quote is the problem, and especially if he's going to, you know, sell the image, there's going to be people that are going to buy that image no matter what, and probably buy it because it was a controversy, but in the ethical part of photography, I'm always sure that, you know, photographers are like the best of friends and also the worst of enemies when it comes to particular subjects. And, you know, if you try to be deceitful, you know, this group is going to find out. And because there's a lot of people that are keen, they have a good eye. And just like those clouds being behind the moon, that's physically impossible. You know, there was no way that he was going to get away with this, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm actually shocked that he didn't figure that part out.
Yeah. And I was listening to Don Komarechka's podcast last night, Photo Geek Weekly, and he and his guest talked about this as well. And one of the things that they mentioned was the location that this shot was taken. Apparently, it's impossible to have the moon in the shot because of the mountains and whatnot.
Yeah.
Something to do with that and the location where it was taken. And if I remember correctly, I think they said it was in France, but I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, let's assume that, you know, you have this shot. Was it pointed to the east? Pointed to the west, you know, or, you know, pointed, you know, either or. Was it going up or was it coming down? You know, if it was any, you know, northeast, northwest, or, you know, north south, of course it's going to be physically impossible. You know, you have to be in the right spot. But if there's mountains in the background, yeah, that's another strike.
Yeah, and there's another article on the same website on F-stoppers where they break it down, but in different things about the authenticity of this image, dynamic range, the lighting direction, yep, on the scene,
yep,
lighting on the moon, depth of field, size of the moon, etc.
Yeah.
And everything's pointing to the fact that this is indeed fake. I mean, it obviously is.
Yeah.
There's just no arguing it. But whoever wrote this article, a fellow named Lee Morris, he's pretty well put it away as a as a fake with his case.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree, you know, the ethics of it is it's hard to look at that image. You know, if he was honest about it, I would say, man, that is a great image. I'd look at that every day. But
I'd probably still send him an email about those clouds behind the moon. But
yeah, yeah, come on, man, what were you thinking? Right, but you know, again, you know, it's always going to be in the back, you know, in the back of your mind, especially because, you know, he is such a high priced, you know, photographer. And
another thing that he's famous for, is he will go to a location and he will set up his camera and he'll wait for the light to be just so, and he'll take one shot, pack up and go home. And that's okay if you're going to show the world that one image, you know, without, you know, you could a bit of editing. And I will admit, a lot of his photos have really nice editing done to them. He has a very certain editing technique that he puts in his photos, from what I understand. And you know, most of them look really good. They're nicely saturated. The exposure is good, the whole nine yards. But, you know, to claim that this was a one shot, he's lost all my respect for him.
I think there's a lot of atmospheric anomalies too that would come into play with such a wide depth of field.
Well, that's one. Okay, now that you just jogged my memory, from what Don was saying last night, when the moon is that low in the horizon,
it is not
perfectly round to our eyes. Yeah. Because of the atmosphere on the Earth and everything else that the light from that moon has to come through, it flattens it a little bit, almost like you're squishing a tennis ball or something.
It's almost like you're adding an extra lens to your array.
Atmospheric cleansing, and that's why it looks so large, especially that low, because as it goes up. In the higher up in the night sky, you won't get that atmospheric lensing. It looks more the normal sized, teeny little tiny moon that we're kind of used to seeing versus this thing, which looks like it's getting ready to invade Earth. It looks so massive in these photos.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he could have used a lens, like a 1,000 millimeter lens from quite a distance away, or maybe not that far away from that rock formation. And the moon could possibly look that big in the frame.
Yeah.
But the problem I have with it is not just the clouds in the background. I mean, that's just stupid. but there's the depth of field. You know, the tree and the rocks are crystal clear, sharp, and so is the moon. And with a lens like that, you just won't get that.
No. And anytime you get a full moon like that, enough where it's cloudless enough to see the moon that crisp, the moon's going to be the brightest thing in the sky. So unless you had an artificial source lighting the rocks,
he's got an artificial moon. So,
well, yeah, but I mean, I was trying to think, is there any way, let's say you were in this position, the moon was coming up, and let's say you had a picture of the moon, the moon would still be so bright. It would, even high end, but still, it would almost be easier to have two separate cameras, take two different shots completely, and then composite those two together to get the balance right versus one camera trying to do an HDR to make sure everything's balanced out.
Yeah.
Bill in the chat. Let me say this. Bill in the chat said that he asked the question, do you think this is a publicity stunt? You know, I think I mentioned that off air is, you know, he craves the attention, because now everybody's going to remember this image. And what good or bad, they're going to remember it. And so let's assume that he does 1,000 prints, and he sells them. And eventually one day they'll probably be worth a lot of money because of the controversy. Sure. Or, you know, because it looks good. Sure. Or because of his name. Sure. You know, it's some people take a risk and they'll say, you know what, if I get bad publicity over this, I'm okay with that. He strikes me as that type, you know, to be okay with the bad publicity, because I don't think he cares what we think. You know, as long as he can sell the prints. So, you know, it's a possibility that, sure, he's like, great, all right, it's on the radar. Everybody knows about this image. You know, most photographers, I would say most photographers that have been around a while know who Peter Lick is. But most people do not. And if it is a controversial image and they say, you know what, I'd like to have one of those because it's so controversial, you know, he's going to get his money. But
yeah, I've been to a Peter Lick gallery in Key West, I think. And I got to tell you, it is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, if you've never been to one, it is a visual treat without a doubt. With that said, I guess, you know, my position on this, because occasionally I do create photos in this vein,
yeah.
But you know, I do call out that, you know, it's not real.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I try to be pretty honest about it. I think there's one picture, and I think I have like 20 different thoughts at the same time here. I can't get my words out. One picture that I created last year, it was taken like in Amish country here in Ohio, and it's basically like looking down a dirt road, and there's a farm in the distance, and there's storm clouds in the sky, and I added lightning to the picture, and I did it pretty darn convincingly. And just recently I posted the picture in a thread on the Artful iPhone community, and I did not call out the fact that the lightning was fake. And somebody commented on it saying, like, oh my goodness, that picture is awesome. Like, how lucky you were to be in the right place at the right time. And I read that comment and I was like, oh crap. I did not mean to mislead people. So, you know, so I jumped in there and said, I'm really sorry. It's not real. The lightning's not real. It's the only part of the picture that's not real. But I should have called that out. But for the most part, you know, I'm pretty honest about, you know, what I'm doing. Like the picture that I just posted recently, a couple weeks ago, with the moon over the frozen lake. You know, I was just kind of messing around with, I think, Skylab. And then I did it again. I posted a picture just last night because I was just wanting to post a picture, and I haven't really been able to get out to do any of the types of photography that I really like to do. So I just took a picture that I shot a few months ago along Lake Erie, and I wanted to try out the new feature that's in Skylab where they have like silhouettes of people that you can add to the picture. Really? So I you know, look through my pictures that were on my phone, and I had this shot from Lake Erie, and it was like, I don't know, some sort of wall with like a fence on top of it that kind of jutted out into the lake ever so slightly. And it's a sunset picture, and you're looking towards the sunset. So the wall is pretty much like in silhouette kind of. And I thought, you know, I could add one of these people to that wall. So it kind of looks like they're standing on top of it, like next to the fence. And if you just glance at it, it kind of looks convincing. But if you like really study it, then you could, in my opinion, you could tell that it's not real. But you know, when I posted it, I just straight up said right away, I'm just screwing around with apps, use the Skylab app to add the person. And I even added the sun and a sun flare to the photo as well with the Skylab app.
Yeah.
But,
well, we're glad that you
I don't have a problem with Peter Lick's image. I mean, yeah, right. Sure. The clouds behind the moon.
Yeah.
Obviously that's an issue, but like, just say what it is. Like if it's a composite, if you really shot the moon and you really shot that mountain with the trees and you put the two images together in Photoshop or whatever, just say that. It's still cool looking.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I wouldn't have a problem with it if he'd have been fully open about it. But he tried to pass it off as, you know, one shot that he's been waiting for all his life and all that stuff. And, so, you know, just the integrity is just gone out the window.
I think with some photographers, in order for them to feel like they have like a standing in the photography community, or maybe to uphold some sort of image that they think they have, they have to do this kind of thing. Whereas like, to me, it's more about the artistic vision, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm impressed to a degree with this image, just because it looks really cool. And it's, you know, I don't know, you have to have some sort of idea in your head to like be, you know, to come up with those two elements together. You know, you have to have some sort of foresight to even get the two shots to combine them together. So I don't know. I just think photographers should be happy with just having the artistic vision and then the ability to pull it off with software. Cause it's still, I'm sure that this still wasn't an easy composite to make.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, it's one thing if you're honest about it, you can actually appreciate the extra skill of the editing and not just your lucky to be in the right place in the right time, but it was some additional skill needed.
See, that's all I've been trying to do with these pictures I've been posting lately, is just to get you to appreciate the skill I have at putting fake objects in my pictures.
Yeah. Well, Matt, we're so you're glad that you were able to join us for your intervention.
We have worked on your phone. We have totally deleted all your editing apps, and you're stuck with the native camera now.
Oh my gosh.
Well, okay. That's a good segue. So take a look at the images, you know, form your own opinions, but also think about the ethics. And, you know, we're... You know, we have to do that all the time, making sure that we're honest in what we're doing. So having said that, let's go ahead and I'll play. Oh, let's pick something fun. Let's do this.
You don't say much, friend, but when you do, it's to the point and I salute you for it.
Well, that's kind of opposite of what we've been doing, but that's all right. speaking of editing tools and camera apps, I think now is a good time to get into our giveaway that we have for you guys. And so I'm going to pass it on to Greg, and he's going to take it from here.
All right. So in the Facebook group last week, I mentioned that we have two licenses for Halide and one license for the full access version of Focus. The reason for the two different apps is because Focus is for the Plus phone, 7 Plus, 8 Plus, and the 10 with the dual lenses. And so I wanted to make sure that everybody was able to get something that we've been talking about lately. So for the other iPhone users with the single lens, Halide is a great camera app. So what I did was I put a post for each in the Facebook group, and just anybody that put a comment was entered into the draw. And, you know, I requested that if they want to add a picture, that's great. So there's a lot of great pictures, so you can look through them too if you want to look back on them. And we had 65 entries.
Wow.
For Focus, and I think it was about 8 or 9 for, or maybe 10 or 12 for Halide. So Focus seems to be a very popular favorite. And unfortunately, we only have one to give away.
I know.
So the winner of the Focus app is Chris Garrett.
All right.
And so for the winners of these, just send me a private message on Facebook, and I'll get you the codes. And so now Halide, the winners of the Halide app are Warren McInnes and John Ramada Felix. So congratulations to those people, and I hope you guys have a lot of fun with these apps. And they're a lot of fun to use, especially that Focus app.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I'm missing is the dual cameras. So I can't partake in Focus.
Well, thanks for setting this up, Greg. It's really cool. I think everyone that won will certainly enjoy those apps.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. These developers are usually pretty good for responding to any queries that I ever have, whether it's I'm telling them a problem with their app or something like this here, where they're going to give away a copy of it. And Halide, they just come in under the wire last week, because about 20 minutes before we went to air, I got the email with the codes for that one.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm really excited. I hope we can do more of these, because I 60 people, it's 60 people in the grand scheme of things in planet Earth isn't a lot of people, but still 60 people is a lot of names to have to pick from. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And now just a disclaimer, the way I chose the names was I went to a website where you can put a list of names in, no matter how long, and just hit a button that says pick random name, and it just throws a name on the screen. So that's how I was able to select the names.
Yeah, I'd be like, and the winner is Matt Hoffman. Wow, Matt, congratulations.
Oh. Well, Dave Podner's threatening to take all my editing apps away, so yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Warren in the chat room says, darkroom next. Halide likes them for post-processing.
Ooh.
You know, wouldn't hurt to hit them up, so maybe I'll send them a little note too.
Sweet. Well, cool. And if anybody has any other good ideas for apps to give away, or if they do the legwork and get a code for us, we will definitely pass it on to our audience.
I'll get codes for all the free apps.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Ooh, Snapseed. I got a code for Snapseed.
Yep, giving away Snapseed.
Woohoo. Yeah.
That's like literally the only free photo app I could think of, because I honestly don't have a clue what apps are. Like, whenever someone asks me, like, was that app free or did you pay for it or whatever? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm the same way.
I don't even want to know how much I paid.
Lumabee is now free.
Ooh, very cool.
I probably paid like $20 for that app.
Yeah.
For Lumumbee?
I think I paid like a buck 99.
Okay.
Oh, very cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right. Our weekly photo challenge has come to an end. It was patterns. And it is my turn to pick. I should have said it's Matt's turn to pick. it is my turn to pick. And I have to say we had a lot of awesome entries, but the one that really stuck out is the brick wall. Kimberly Bergman Treffser. Is that right? Treffser? Yeah, I think that's how you say it. Has a beautiful image of a brick wall that has some plants growing out of it. And she shot it with her iPhone 10 and edited it with Snapseed. And I have to say, it really pops out. I like the different colors. I love the character of the bricks and the contrast of the plants against the bricks. I think it is pretty cool. What are your guys' thoughts? Let's start with you, Greg.
Yeah, I'd have to echo your comments there. As soon as I saw this image, I really, really fell in love with it. I even commented, like, I don't comment too much on the challenges just because it's, I can't really participate. But this one here, I had to tell her it was really cool. The juxtaposition between the leaves coming out of the wall, the softness of the leaves contrasted with the, solid bricks. I just thought that was really cool. And, just looking at it again, you look at the leaf on the left-hand side, the brick right below it to the right almost looks like a mouth.
Yeah.
Looks like a closed mouth.
Yeah.
Just sitting there looking so stern looking. But, it's just a really, really cool image. And yeah. I don't even know that. Oh, I guess, yes, she did do some editing. It's in Snapseed. But I can imagine she didn't have to do too much. Maybe, saturation and contrast. But
a little bit of vignette.
Yeah, it really looks good.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Greg? I mean, Dave.
I just told you.
Well, I'm going to sound pretty much less like Greg, eh? I'm agreeing that I like the fact that it's a simple pattern in terms of kind of just the repeating bricks themselves where, and I actually fell into this myself when I tried doing patterns. It was, sometimes you get a little overly complicated with the patterns you do. Yeah. And actually, to me, the thing that sticks out is almost the break that the leaves give you in the pattern.
Yeah.
It's a great picture. It's amazing how clear everything is on this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can kind of guess scale just because you figure they're normal. They're average-sized bricks and probably very small plants coming out. But just how clear everything is, you imagine you could be really, really close and you're getting this really sharpness all the way around.
Yeah, absolutely. What are your thoughts, Matt?
Love it. No, it's... Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else I could add besides what you guys already said. Definitely a cool picture. I don't know. I definitely do like the little plants that are kind of poking out of the bricks. And then, to be honest with you, I think had I taken this shot, I think I also would have edited this picture with Snapseed because I don't know if she maybe used like the grunge filter or maybe even HDR on this, but like the micro contrast that's applied to this is, I think, really making like everything pop. And it also brings out like all those little details in the bricks, which I think are like important to see. You know, it really gives you an idea of the texture
And, you know, and then it is also helpful that it fit the theme because there is a pattern to the bricks.
Yeah. Two more things I'll add. One, that brick that you were talking about, Greg, to me looks like banana bread. And
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I love banana bread.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I noticed was the watermark or the little signature that she had on there. I was looking at every single brick going along, and I was actually surprised to see it. I was like, oh, what? Look, her name's on there. And I was like, I would have never noticed because it almost blends in. And I have to say it was done very tastefully.
You know what? I didn't even see that till you just mentioned it. That's pretty clever.
Yeah. So, well, congratulations, Kimberly. You are the post pick of the week winner. If you would like to be chosen as post pick of the week, go on to our Facebook page, or actually it's Facebook group, and look for the pin post at the top and participate. We put every 2 weeks we have a new theme, and we put our images in the comment section so that we keep it all together. And at the end of the 2 weeks, we choose an image. On the off week that we don't do pick the theme, go to Instagram and choose from the hashtag Tiny Shutter. So you have a couple ways of participating, and I highly recommend that you join us and take a look at all the awesome images that are being posted and post your awesome image. We'd love to see it. So, all right. So now we have to choose our next theme. And see here. Dave had a couple ideas. It was either ice, being that it's wintertime, or you know, whatever you can do for ice, and or we can do gold because the Olympics. So I thought we would kind of discuss a little bit and see what we wanted to do.
I'm okay with either one.
Like
that
ice.
That doesn't help. You like ice?
I think ice would be better. Well, for me anyway, obviously, because that's all I got up here.
Canadians don't have gold.
No, we just win it in hockey.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So let's go. Any objections to ice? Okay. Then ice it is. So our weekly photo challenge is going to be ice. Ice, ice, baby. Oh, sorry. Oh, very cool. Awesome. Well, I think we might have ourselves a show. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to bring up briefly?
No, I got nothing.
Just want to continue to thank, and I don't know if you're about to do this, Joe, but continue to thank the four patrons we have.
Oh, yes.
Over at the Tiny Shutter Podcast Patreon at patreon.com/tinyshutter. Of course, the link is on the website at tinyshutter.com.
Yep. Very cool. Yes, absolutely. And if you guys would like to participate with that, we are more than happy to invite you. And you know, we're coming at, we had a meeting this week where we were coming up with some ideas, so be on the lookout for some announcements. And you know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, because we're really happy that you guys are listening and participating, and you know, we want to up our game, and make it more enjoyable. So very cool. Well, let me go ahead and play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Barely.
let's go around the room and tell everybody where they can find you. Let's start with you, Matt.
All right. You can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Excellent. Dave.
Sure. You can find me on Instagram and Mission Pick as ProfPod.
All right. And Greg.
You can find me on Instagram, and I changed my Instagram name again.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm probably going to change it again when I find something I like even better. But I changed it to McMillan Photo. I wanted to get my last name in there, but I'm just having trouble figuring out what the best way to do it. So anyway, that's what it is for now. I'm McMillan Photo on Instagram. And you can find me over on the Artful Eye Photography community on the Mighty Bell Networks. The web address keeps escaping me, but just Google it and you'll find it. And pretty good bunch of people over there too, as well as in our Facebook group.
Yeah. All right. And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to our show notes, just like Dave said, links to our YouTube channel and to Facebook by going to and Patreon by going to tinyshutter.com. And if you are a Mixlr listener, you're going to probably hear some new shows on the Mixlr channel. So even if you're just listening to us, you know, just be aware that sometime, not on a Thursday, you may have some other options to listen to and enjoy them. So, like I said, we're doing some other things, and we're looking forward to the future, especially with the new things that are coming up. So, all right. Well, gentlemen, I think we're done. So why don't you guys say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye, everybody.
Night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
I'm getting tingly.